The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Wednesday morning, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This, middle of the week, hump day edition, here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, where yours truly, Neville James. Another overcast day in paradise, but it's nice, breezy. Last night, well, nice, humidity like it was dead, which is how we want it. And, you know, that's just how it is in these parts, you know what I'm saying? So it's all good. We've got a great show lined up today. We're going to be talking with Angela Sheen Pickney, Dr. Julia Sheen, Executive Director of the Virgin Islands Center of Excellence, and Dr. Gail Nunley, a bland endocrinologist. She's going to be calling in. We're going to be talking diabetes awareness. We will be talking about the fallout from yesterday's infamous historic decision in Arizona, where they reinstated a near total abortion law that dates back to 1864. 160 years, that's how much we're regressing in the world, in America today. So looking forward to having that discussion. I'm trying to get my good friend Dr. Ann Treasure, if she's not busy, to join the conversation for obvious reasons, and don't reach out to my Bush Tea partner and a couple others as well, so we'll see how that pan out. Having said that, I want to welcome Dr. Julia Sheen here in the studio. Good morning. Pull the microphone closer. Get real close to it so you can talk to it. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good
morning to you and the listening audience.
Okay, there we go. I wasn't hearing it. So good. How you been?
I've been really good. How are you?
I good. Can't complain. Dr. Hunt, Dr. Nunley and Elaine? Good morning. Dr. Gail Nunley, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm well. I'm well. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. Okay. Glad to be here.
Okay, good. So, I know Diabetes Awareness Month is November.
Yes.
But you're down in April. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're
pull
trying...
Pull the microphone closer again. Oh,
great.
There we go.
I think we need to start a diabetes movement in the Virgin Islands. You know, it's such a major issue. I like to call diabetes the silent epidemic because it is the sixth leading cause of death in the Virgin Islands, and we have 14.9% of our population living with diabetes. And so if you put that within the context of our population...
One out of every seven?
That or 12,000 people living with diabetes.
Wow.
And that's quite considerable. So we can't wait until November to talk about diabetes. We need to really be talking about this on a regular basis and really helping people to manage their diabetes. And for those that are pre-diabetic, our goal is to help them not get a diagnosis of diabetes.
Okay, good. Dr. Lonley?
Yes, Dr. Sheen has definitely illustrated what the importance of diabetes is. And I think a lot of individuals do not realize what serious complications can occur when diabetes is not well managed. And it really costs our society lots of money when someone goes blind, amputations, and dialysis. And we can do a lot to prevent that if we manage our diabetes well. And as Dr. Sheen mentioned, if we can detect individuals earlier in the pre-diabetes stage, that we can actually reverse this and they do not have to go on to develop diabetes.
Okay. So, Dr. Lonely, you're at Howard right now or University of Arizona?
Yes, I'm at Howard right now.
Okay, good. How's Howard doing?
We're doing very well. You know, I'm the director of the Diabetes Center here at Howard, and it really came to my attention back in 2007 when we opened that our rates of diabetes, particularly in Washington, D.C., where the majority of the African-American population lives, that our rates are similar to the Virgin Islands. And in fact, in some pockets of our city, the rates are as high as 18% of individuals living with diabetes. So we had to do something about that. So we opened up a comprehensive diabetes center where we have our nutritionists, our diabetes educators. We have our endocrinologists who specialize in diabetes. We have access to our podiatrists, ophthalmologists, and kidney doctors and nephrologists, so that we can comprehensively manage our patients with diabetes to prevent those complications, to reduce emergency room visits and hospitalization. And I'm proud to say that we've, you know, made significant impact in our population.
Are you aware of the history of Virgin Islanders attending Howard University? Great Virgin Islanders?
Yes, I believe it was Dr. Snyder.
Yeah, the governor, yeah.
Was one, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my dad got his MD at Howard University.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. What's your dad's name?
Randall James. Used to call him. They called him Doc, Dr. Randall James.
Doc, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and in other fields as well. Howard University has played a big role in the development of our leadership over the last 100 years, thereabouts. So it's near and dear to us. So I'm glad to have you on this morning for more reasons.
Thank you.
Than one, you know what I'm saying? So, Dr. Sheen, what else are data telling us? I mean, you gave us the foundational numbers there, but I'm sure there's some more in there that we could break down, we could analyze.
Sure. I want to share some data that we talked about at the legislative hearing we had last week. And we talked about the cost of treating one patient on dialysis being $100,000 a month versus treating one patient with diabetes being $7,000 to $10,000 a year. That's very significant.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my requests to the senators was really to invest in prevention.
Talk about a hearing. That was a committee on health hearing?
Yes, it was.
It was. Focusing on what?
Diabetes.
Okay,
we're talking about diabetes, and I'll share some of the data that I shared with everybody. The World Health Organization reported that 537 million people worldwide have diabetes, and the majority of them living in low and middle income countries. About 1.5 million deaths are directly attributed to diabetes each year. The global diabetes burden accounts for about $966 billion in annual spending and 6.7 million deaths in 2021. And 643 million adults are expected to be affected by diabetes by the year 2030. So if we bring that home, I talked about, you know, diabetes being the sixth leading cause of death. 14.9% of our population have diabetes compared to 12% in the United States. More females than males had diabetes in 2021. And because we're a predominantly African Caribbean community, we are at highest risk for diabetes. And our risk factors are primarily the reason why we have such a high prevalence in the Virgin Islands. 71% of our population consume less than 5 servings of fruits and vegetables on a daily basis. 57% of us do not engage in 30 minutes of moderate physical activity 5 or more times a week. And 35% of us are obese. So these are the challenges that we see in the community that predisposes us for diabetes. And the Diabetes Center of Excellence is here to do something about that.
Okay, well, talk about the Diabetes Center of Excellence, if you will.
So we were established in October of 2020, and we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And as Dr. Nunley Bland talked about, what Howard is doing in terms of providing comprehensive services, we are building a multidisciplinary team to do the same thing. We have Dr. Noni Bland, who will be providing and has already started providing endocrinology services. We have Dr. Liu from Johns Hopkins University. He will be screening our patients for diabetes retinopathy. Our medical director is a family medicine doctor. And every year we work with Dr. Ava Roberts. She's actually from St. Thomas. She's our podiatrist. And so we have our registered dietitian on board, Sumi Tohan. She teaches our diabetes self-management classes. We're getting ready to launch an advanced nutrition class on a monthly basis. We just launched a medication management class. We just had that in March 13th, to be exact. And we are getting ready to launch a class, just a 12-month program, actually, for people with prediabetes to make sure that they do not end up with a diagnosis of diabetes. And I just wanted to share our mission statement, which is to prevent diabetes, reduce its complication through health promotion, patient education, treatment, and research. And our goal really is to improve the quality of life for people living with diabetes. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're located in La Grande Princesse, right across the street from James Memorial Funeral Home on the second floor.
Okay, that's good. Now, Dr. Noni Bland, let's break this down in lay people language, so the audience has a feel for how the population, what the data says as it relates to our population. From young people from infancy to 21, what are we looking at as it relates to diabetes?
Yes, well, that's an excellent question. Let's start with pregnancy. Women who have gestational diabetes, and this diabetes is what develops generally in that second trimester of pregnancy, these women's elevated blood glucose has an effect on their unborn infants. These infants are at increased risk of developing diabetes later on. So we do have to address that in women of reproductive age, that having diabetes or at risk for developing diabetes carries on to their offspring. As a child grows up, and I've mentioned before that generally around the age 5 or 6 years of age, if a child is becoming overweight or obese, that increases their risk for developing diabetes. And if we do not address this at this age, there's a 50% chance that they will remain obese and have an increased risk for developing diabetes. By the time they're an adolescent,
adolescent to let's say mid-40s, what are we looking at?
And so starting in adolescence, if you are obese and you remain obese, you have a 95% chance of remaining obese into adulthood. And generally we start screening children who are overweight, obese, at the age of 10 for diabetes, because if we do not address it at that age, they go on to develop diabetes within 5 years. So really screening our children at age 10, particularly those who are overweight or obese, can do a lot in terms of reducing the burden of diabetes in a young population. It takes only 5 years from the onset of having what we consider pre-diabetes. And how we define that is if you're fasting blood glucose, that means that if you haven't eaten anything for 8 to 12 hours, just water, and if your blood sugar is between 100 and 125, then that's considered in the pre-diabetes stage. Or we can diagnose it based on an A1C, which is a blood level of 5.7 to 6.4. You can get this at the doctor's office. And if it's in that range, you're in the pre-diabetes stage. These are times when you can intervene by diet and exercise, and we generally recommend at least 30 minutes of exercise 5 days a week, reducing your calorie consumption about 500 calories. I don't mean a total of 500 calories a day, but reducing the amount by 500 that you normally would eat. We have shown that this can significantly reduce your chances of going on to developing diabetes. So this is that intervention that really can help us in terms of preventing diabetes. If your A1C is 6.5 and greater, or you have signs and symptoms of diabetes, which is drinking a lot of water, going to the bathroom a lot, losing weight despite eating, women with vaginal yeast infections, and those women who had gestational diabetes. Usually after the baby is born, it disappears, but these women have a 30% chance of going on to developing diabetes later on in life. You're at risk, and you can go on to develop the diabetes. So with those signs and symptoms of diabetes, then you need to have treatment. Sometimes we have to do a special test, which is an oral glucose tolerance test, where we give you a glucose load and we look to see if your blood sugar is 200 or greater after 2 hours. Then that would be also a diagnosis of diabetes. And then at that point, we still emphasize lifestyle, with diet and exercise, but medications. We can treat you with pills. Sometimes we have to give insulin. And there is another type of diabetes, which is type 1 diabetes. This is the diabetes that generally occurs in younger individuals, in children, but it can occur later on in life. This type of diabetes is when your body just doesn't produce insulin, and it's due to an immune system problem where your immune system attacks the cells that produce insulin. You have to take insulin in order to actually survive. If you do not take insulin, then it can lead to serious complications, what we call diabetic ketoacidosis, where acid builds up in your blood, and if not treated, it can lead to death. So the three types of diabetes that we commonly are seeing, type 2 diabetes, which tends to occur in older individuals, where the body produces insulin, but the body just doesn't recognize it. We call that insulin resistance, and we can manage it with pills, diet, exercise, and sometimes we need insulin. Type 1 diabetes is where your body just doesn't produce insulin, and you have to take insulin, and pills do not work in this type of diabetes. And then the gestational diabetes that I talked about that women get during pregnancy disappears after the baby is born, but this may be a precursor for going on to develop type 2 diabetes.
That's a very comprehensive response. Thank you very much, Dr. Nunley Bland. As we head to break, I want to ask you this question, Dr. Sheen, and you could think about it during the break. Dr. Nunley Bland mentioned obesity, mm-hmm. which is a big issue here in the territory. Mm-hmm. That's number one. So should we be focusing more on that as a catalyst, for lack of a better term, an avenue to get people, get the residents more aware of the residual negative impact, right? That's number one. And then number two, based on what Dr. Nunley Bland just mentioned, which of the three different types of diabetes that she broke down so well, highly articulated, is most prevalent here in the Virgin Islands. We're talking with Dr. Julia Sheen, Executive Director of the Virgin Islands Center of Excellence, 501c3 entity here in the Virgin Islands, and Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, an endocrinologist from Howard University. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
The Forum and the St. John's School of the Arts presents Sphinx Virtuosi, a dynamic and inspiring orchestra comprised of 18 accomplished Black and Latinx artists. Its members serve as cultural and diversity ambassadors for audiences and communities worldwide. Concerts are Friday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at the St. John's School of the Arts and Saturday, April 13th, 8 p.m. on St. Thomas at the Antilles School. This weekend is the premiere of a greater collaborative presented by the VI Lottery between all three islands with CMC Arts on St. Croix, the Forum and United Jazz Foundation on St. Thomas and the St. John's School of the Arts. The Sphinx Orchestra performance is made possible with support from the VI Lottery, First Bank, and the Virgin Islands Special Presenter Initiative Program of the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation with support of the National Endowment for the Arts. For more information, www.theforumusvi.org or www.stjohnschoolofthearts.org.
And we're back here on Analysis. We're talking diabetes awareness with Dr. Julia Sheen and Dr. Gail Nunley Bland from Howard University. Before I get the answer from Dr. Sheen, good morning once again, Dr. Nunley Bland.
Good morning.
I'm gonna take this opportunity now that I got you here. You're a doctor. You mentioned pregnancy on the surface. What's the fallout with what took place in Arizona yesterday?
You're talking about the ruling that they have.
The reverting back to Abraham Lincoln days as it relates to abortion.
Yes. We're going through a lot of political changes here in the country. Mm-hmm. So, and it's creating quite a stir. So they're trying to get a ballot. I guess the senator in Arizona is trying to get signatures to overturn the ruling. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's throughout the whole country here.
Is that something that the Washington as a district doesn't have to worry about? Or should everybody worry regardless of where you're at?
Yes, we all have to worry, and we have an election coming in November. So it's going to be very tense around here, I can guarantee you that. So
you could probably slice that tension up there in Washington, D.C., right? It's so thick, you know what I'm saying? Dr. Sheen, I see you smiling when I ask that question. Mm-hmm. You know that I won't let you come out and don't get away from that. Are we overdoing it now? You know, as someone who has been in the political arena, my over a decade serving as a senator, sometimes you better have just leave it well and good enough alone. Is this a classic example of that? Just looking at it, you know, superficially, without getting in too technical. Pull that microphone down there again so you go.
Dr. Lee Bland, you were going to say something.
Yeah, so, you know, it's very controversial in this country. And, you know, there are a lot of women's movements and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the elections are going to be like. I think our former President Trump has made some statements that have created controversy about states' rights. And, you know, there's one group that says it should be a national, you know, so we're just really.
But aside from the state and national argument, isn't this about women's rights and a woman's ability to make a decision as it relates to her own body? I know we try to complicate things, but why don't you break this down to, you know, in its most mundane perspective? This is about a woman's ability to say, "I'm going to do, you know, what I believe is best for my body and for my family."
Yes, you know, that is true. And unfortunately, you know, if certain aspects or people in our community get their way, we'll probably go back to the days where, you know, women will go to the back rooms and, you know, have the butchers take care of their pregnancies and, you know, that kind of thing. And hopefully we're not going to go back to those days. But, this is really controversial time.
That's a scary proposition, Dr. Sheen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do agree with Dr. Noni Bland. It's really a public health issue because if you can access, I do believe that women have the right to choose what they do with their bodies. And if you can access an abortion safely, you're going to have real issues where people are doing it in a very unsafe manner. And that is a public health issue. Thank you. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Now, getting back to why you ladies are joining me this morning, thank you very much for that little segue there. Appreciate that. the most prevalent form of diabetes in the territory, Dr. Sheen,
is type 2 diabetes. And you'll see that nationally, and Dr. Noni Bland can speak to that as well. Mm-hmm. So, for example, 77% of our patients have type 2 diabetes. You'll find that because it's usually linked to lifestyle. You know, 80% of our healthcare is lifestyle and 20% is clinical.
Okay.
So given that, you will always have more people with type 2 diabetes than type 1.
And when you say clinical, you're including genetic?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that is why, you know, you see that high prevalence of type 2 diabetes versus the type 1, because it's more about lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it segues into the issue you raised about obesity and us focusing on obesity, which is part of our lifestyle.
You mentioned an appearance before the legislature. What was the response? Did you get any public response in terms of, Dr. Sheen, I saw you, oh, I heard you at the legislative committee meeting, and I want to find out more about that. Do we need a true outreach awareness program to address something that impacts literally every family?
Yes, I have been meeting people, and people have been calling the office. They want to learn more about it. Some people didn't even know that the center exists. Of course, we have senators from St. Thomas saying, when are you going to launch the St. Thomas office?
Mm-hmm.
For which we are negotiating a lease right now, and we hope to launch the office in the next couple of months. So we are getting out there and spreading the word. In fact, we are going to be partnering with the Seventh-day Adventist Church this week. And let me give you the specifics on that. They are actually partnering with the Loma Linda medical team. They're doing a health fair here on St. Croix.
When I hear Loma Linda, I know Loma Linda is California.
Yes. So they're going to have this health fair on April 11th, 14th, 15th, from 9 to 4. We will be there just conducting our diabetes outreach, doing rapid A1Cs and glucose testing. They'll also be there on April 12th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. In addition to the services that we will be providing, Loma Linda will be doing dental cleaning, fillings and extractions, primary care outpatient services. We will be assisting with blood pressure screenings and the glucose testing. People will be able to come and get their reading glasses, mental health counseling, family counseling, and there will be special presentations. And all of this is being offered to our community free of charge.
Now, where does Loma Linda thing come from? That sounds good.
Yes, it is. I don't know the background on their relationship.
Who you say is the entity that does this thing?
Central Seventh-day Adventist
Church.
Seventh-day
Adventist,
yes,
okay.
And that's out there in Frederickstead. Mm-hmm. There's 17A Estate Pleasant in Frederickstead, across from Plaza Extra West.
No, that's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Okay.
Yes, so, and it's several days, so people have an opportunity to, especially people that don't have health insurance,
mm-hmm.
this is an opportunity for you to, you know, get a physical done, get your teeth cleaned, because oral health is, you know, tied to overall optimal health.
Mm-hmm.
So,
without a doubt. Dr. Nunley or Nunley? I've been hearing Dr. Sheen say Nunley, and I've been saying Nunley.
Nunley.
I'd like to correct it, please.
Nunley.
Nunley. Nunley. Okay, good.
Nunley.
Yeah. Talk about outreach in general and how important it is. And because as Dr. Sheen mentioned, this is a public health issue, and there's things we take for granted, and outreach and mobile vans and all that stuff going into communities. They have value, Dr. Nunley Bland.
Yes, outreach is extremely important, particularly with type 2 diabetes, because many individuals do not even know that they have diabetes. And sometimes they can walk around with diabetes 5 years before it's even detected. So early detection through screening, and we generally recommend people get screened for diabetes, particularly if you are of a minority group, African American, Hispanics, American Indians, and so forth, at the age of 25. So this is something that if you haven't been screened for diabetes, you should be, so that we can detect it early enough. Because after 5 years, you may already have started to develop complications and you didn't even know you had diabetes. So outreach is important. With the rapid A1Cs, that is extremely important, because you can determine if that's 6.5 or greater, then you need to get in and have an assessment, get on treatment, and particularly to prevent those long-term complications that we often see when people are not well managed with their diabetes.
And I did want to mention, to your point, that we are in the process of procuring a mobile unit. We're actually going to make it a telemobile unit, and we should have that in the next few months.
Oh, that's awesome. I got to hear that. Now, earlier, Dr. Nunley, spoke of insulin.
I blame that on my father.
No. What about the great GNB? What about GNB? Is that good with you? No.
I didn't get that. What was that?
I was using your initials. I could say the notorious GNB. You know what I'm saying? You know, because we go, I'm a Biggie Smalls and all that stuff, right? So I have fun with that. But I wanted to ask this question. Dr. Nunley Bland spoke of diabetes related to your body not generating insulin, right? And that's a big issue with the current president as it relates to cost, because one piece of legislation that he continues to refer to is the price of insulin, in particular for our seniors. Are you familiar with the legislation and its impact? And is it applicable here in the Virgin Islands, to your knowledge, Dr. Sheen or Dr. Nunley Bland? Dr. Sheen first.
So I'm very familiar with the legislation, and it is applicable to the Virgin Islands.
That's a good
yes,
That's
and we
good
did one. Do some promotion around that. Mm-hmm. And actually, the delegate to Congress did some promotion around it as well.
Okay.
But I'll let Dr. Nunley Bland speak to it.
Dr. Nunley Bland, we live in a territory, we live in detached, so we may not be as aware or impacted. This is a big thing based on what the previous cost was compared to what it is now. Can you speak to that, if you will, educate my audience?
Yes. It's great that the legislation has passed regarding the cost of insulin, $35 for insulin. And many individuals can get their insulin for $35. Prior to this, the insulin were costing over $400, and in some instances, up to $1,000.
No, let me stop. Let me stop you right there. We're talking two different galaxies, in terms of the differential here. Why was it so high? And I understand, you know, we're glad that legislation, you know, is apparently addressing the costs, but the real question is, what was going on for so long at the expense of people who were in need of insulin, Dr. Nolly Bland. That sounds criminal to me when you're talking $400 versus $35. That's over 90% reduction in costs.
Yes. I guess
the economy of scale and all that stuff impacts the people in the business are making money, but if something was $400 and now it's down to $35, 10% is $40. I mean, that's frightening to think yeah. that type of, you know, impact in the marketplace was taking place.
Yes, and you know, it's a lot of corporate greed.
There we go.
There are a lot of middlemen in the supply chain. We are still battling that here in the United States. We have pharmacy benefit managers that are, taking off a little bit of the money. We have our insurance companies that need to, maintain their profit margins.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just got trickled down to the consumer where they had to pay the price of this. So I'm glad that legislation has brought the price of insulin, which is a life-saving medication that really no one should be denied that particular medication. So we do try to, for those who cannot get their insulin, direct them to the resources where you can get it for $35 because it's so important and no one should go without their insulin. Or what was happening in the past, they would have to ration it, and they would give less amount of insulin, which caused their blood sugars to be higher than what they should be. And again, that is not good management of your diabetes, because high blood sugars lead to complications. So I'm glad that we have moved towards that realm.
And Dr. Sheen, I saw you shaking your head. It is stories like that literally validate the Ralph Naders of the world, the ones who are out there talking on behalf of the consumer. You know, people tend to look at them as abstract and rebel roses and just wanting to create problems, but there are issues that they have legitimate concerns about and complaints when you think about it, Dr. Sheen.
I totally agree with you. We really have an issue, not just in terms of insulin, but just people accessing affordable medication overall. And so I will say that one of the resources that we use here in the community and we refer our patients to is the 340B program that the health centers have, because it provides, patients the opportunity to get affordable medications. So
that's interesting. And I'll just pull up a story here from April of 2022, 2 years ago. And this is in California. It said today, a 10 milliliter vial of insulin can go from anywhere from $170 to $400. When you think of that price range, let's remove the legislation that actually create the cap. The fact that you got a marketplace where a commodity, right, a necessary commodity, medication, ranging from $170 to $400. Wow, that's shocking. But Dr. Nolly Bland said it right. Corporate greed is real. Greedflation is impactful, and we can't ignore those realities in the capitalist society that we're living in. We got Dr. Julia Sheen from the Virgin Islands Center of Excellence and Dr. Gail Nunley Bland from Howard University joining us this morning, talking about diabetes awareness in April, even though November is Diabetes Awareness Month. So we're going to talk about where we want to become November 2024 as it relates to diabetes here in the Virgin Islands and D.C. on the mainland as well. Be back right after this.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party. Or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM. FM.
And we're back here to analyze this. We got Dr. Julia Sheen, Executive Director for the Virgin Islands Center of Excellence.
It's the Diabetes Center,
Center of Excellence. Virgin Islands Diabetes Center of Excellence. Thank you for correcting me. And endocrinologist, Dr. Gail Nunley Bland from Howard University. Good morning once again, ladies. Glad to have you on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, good. Dr. Nunley Bland, how important is the Affordable Care Act in the grand scheme?
That is extremely important. The Affordable Care Act, that has allowed individuals who could not get health insurance to get a reasonable and affordable health insurance that allows them to get access to health care. States that did not buy into the Affordable Care Act, their populations have higher rates of chronic diseases such as diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and their overall health is one of the worst in the nation. Here in the District of Columbia, where Howard University is, our patients, I believe about 70%, 80% of our participants participate in the Affordable Care Act. And it really provides what I consider access to health care that they would not have ever been able to afford. You know, just for example, we talked about insulin. Even before they had the $35 insulin cap, these individuals who were in the Affordable Care or were able to get government assisted insurance were able to get their medication. And so that in turn definitely prevented some of the complications that we would have seen if they had not been able to. So I think everyone should have health insurance. That should be a right. In those countries where it is universal access to health insurance, there health of their population is far superior to ours in the United States.
That's a fact. I could speak to that, you know, living here in the Caribbean and knowing how other islands take the well-being of their residents very, very important. And we tend to take it for granted. Not that we don't take it importantly, but the other islands, they tend to go to a higher extreme. So you're shaking your head when I ask that question. Dr. Sheen, of the importance of the Affordable Care Act. We're mentioning the fact that, you know, we're a territory, insular possession, just like Guam, American Samoa, Northern Mariana, a little different from Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is not under the Department of Interior. They got a direct line of communication and relationship with the White House. What can we do to get not only local resident awareness as it relates to diabetes, but get the federal government to understand that our situations are unique in many different ways and require special attention, more federal monies, and a greater line of access to CDC and entities like that, the Department of Health, Federal Department of Health. How do we go about?
So before I address that, I wanted to talk about the health insurance issue because it's one that's near and dear to my heart. I, as the governor's policy advisor on health and human services, I launched the association health plans that expanded health insurance coverage for small businesses.
Okay.
So one of the things we did in the Virgin Islands was we chose to expand Medicaid, which was great. Mm-hmm. We increased the number of Medicaid members from 12 to over 30,000 persons.
Okay.
But we have 30% of our population that don't have health insurance, and many of them can't qualify for Medicaid. So we need to create, because their incomes are too high.
Okay.
And we need to create some universal health insurance coverage plan here in the territory. And Dr. Nuli Bland stated it.
Intermediary healthcare access
yes.
plan.
Yes. Yeah. Because as she indicated, if you don't have health insurance, then you have all of these medical issues because you can't afford to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we need to address as a territory. And yes, I'm the executive director of the Virgin Islands Diabetes Center of Excellence, but I'm also a healthcare advocate. And so I'm very much, and public health policy is not only my training, but my passion. And I'm very much interested in being a part of a conversation that begins to work on such a policy for the territory.
Okay.
So that's something I want to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you asked me another question. How do we begin to kind of advocate for our special needs?
Mm-hmm.
I know that the governor already, he goes to Washington on a regular basis. He takes a delegation with him and he meets with the various departments, Centers for Disease Control, U.S. Department of Education, Transportation, et cetera. I think that those meetings need to continue, but we need to develop a specific agenda, a specific ask of these various agencies. For example, in the Virgin Islands, a lot of our grants are based on population. That's a major policy change that needs to happen. A lot of the behavioral health grants are based on population size. So you know we're going to get a little bit of money for our Black, our mental health Black grant, our substance abuse Black grant. There needs to be a policy change, a waiver requested so that we're not looked at in the same way you would look at, we're not looked at based on our population size, but they consider our demographics, our socioeconomic issues, and I think
are being isolated.
That's correct.
The factoring in the cost of getting the necessary medicine and commodities from point A where it's manufactured to point B where it's being consumed and impacting.
That variable needs
to be incorporated as well.
Yes, we need to have a collaboration between the delegate to Congress, the governor, working together to request waivers in these specific areas where we're most impacted.
Well, that's a good point that I want to dovetail on to Dr. Nunley. Dr. Nunley, when I was younger, one of my mentors used to brag about Washington, D.C. I was 15, 16, and he said, you know, D.C. is a, because he went to Howard, and he said, you know, D.C. is an educational mecca and all that stuff, right? And, you know, great universities in D.C. My sister graduated from George Washington. You got Catholic, American. There's another one. You got UDC. You got University of Maryland right there in College Park. You got the Virginia universities with George Mason and
Morgan State.
You got the Baltimore University, the Morgan State, and what's the next one? Towson.
Right,
Towson. Did I mention James Madison? So it goes. There's another one, Georgetown. How could I forget Georgetown?
Oh yes.
Right. Are these institutions working together? Do y'all do things collaboratively, or is the competition so stiff that you know we're into wanting to outdo the next institution when we're at a time now where we should actually be pooling all of our intellectual capacities and knowledge to make for a better life for everyone, Dr. Nunley. We lose Dr. Nunley? Dr. Nunley, you there? Yeah, it looks like we lost Dr. Nunley. Yeah. What about that, Dr. C, on the surface with the more conjunctive approaching, being collaborative? How do we... And UVI, right? Yeah, UVI involved in that.
I believe that we work in silos.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter whether it's the institutions, the departments... Everybody works in silos, and it is about competition. These schools, especially historically black institutions,
mm-hmm.
they're struggling financially.
Yeah, man.
And so collaboration is not at the top of their list of priorities.
Well, you know, hopefully we can address that because given where we're at, and you just mentioned...
And Dr. Nuni Bland is still on. She says she can hear us.
She can hear us, but we can't hear her.
Okay.
Good morning once again, Dr. Nunley. Can't hear Dr. Nunley. She said she can hear us.
Should she call back
in? Yeah, tell her hang up and call back and see if we can work that out.
Okay.
We were going to go there. Yeah, on this particular show, Analyze This, we take a different approach. We're NPR. So we like to look at a lot of the details that folks... typically won't get somewhere else, and all those variables. I think that's the right terminology here. And to me, our biggest issue is the isolation.
Oh yes.
We can't ignore the fact that we are a an insular possession. Mm-hmm. We're located 1,100 miles to the nearest state, mm-hmm. Florida, and interestingly enough. When we're linked in associations, we're not linked with Florida. A majority of our linkage is with New York and New Jersey,
sure.
and the Northeast for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. That's based on demographics and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Dr. Nunley, you back on?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay, good. Yeah, maybe that was
okay.
Yeah, that was all just right. That was a gremlin. I was talking about you being at Howard and all the different universities in the D.C. area, Maryland Extended, Virginia. Y'all working together? And particularly in the medical field, to make public health better for everyone, to include the UVI, University of Virgin Islands, for obvious reasons, is that something that we should be working towards? How about that?
Well, I think we should work towards it more. I mean, we do have some collaborations, and in fact, Howard and Georgetown has a research collaboration where we look at what we call translational research. Where we look at whatever the issues may be in our healthcare system, how that we can improve upon that. So that is a relationship. We did have a project with GW related to diabetes in terms of getting our patients into diabetes education.
Okay, that's good.
To improve their outcomes. So we do have these collaborations, but it really should be more. And I think it should be more systematic. And I think the government should... encourage and promote and actually demand that we all work together because we do share the same population and the money should be distributed in an equitable manner.
And I wanted to add to that, we are doing a lot of collaborations, and by we, I mean the Virgin Islands Diabetes Center of Excellence, where we are partnering with Howard University, hence why we have Dr. Noni Bland on the line. We're also partnering with Johns Hopkins University and bringing in Dr. Alvin Liu to screen our patients for diabetes retinopathy. We do have an MOU with St. Thomas East End Medical Center, and we do have a referral relationship with Frederickstead Healthcare Inc. We also have a partnership with the Department of Health. We partner with their Rotary Clubs on St. Croix and on St. Thomas. So we are expanding our footprint, and we cannot do this work without partnering.
Without a doubt, because you mentioned Loma Linda. And I was like, I know Loma Linda. I see Loma Linda when I drive in on the 5 in California. So I want to know what Loma Linda doing. Yeah, right, I like that. You know what I'm saying? So you said the Loma Linda Health Center, the University Medical Center.
This is
in conjunction with the Seventh-day Adventist.
Yes. So I'm not sure if it's the university or the medical center that's doing this work.
Yeah, because I look it up here and I see Loma Linda University Medical Center.
Okay.
So. Yeah, and it's a Sunday deal, right?
No, this is several days.
Several days, okay.
Yeah, let me go to it so that I can just repeat it quickly.
No, because that type of collaborative thing is what we need.
Oh, definitely, and especially if the services are being offered free of charge.
That's right.
As I mentioned, it is April 11th, the 14th, and the 15th. From 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's going to be at the Central Seventh-day Adventist Church at 17A Estate Pleasant, Frederickstead, 00840. That's right down from Plaza Extra West.
Yeah, right down from.
And then again on April 12th from 9 to 2. Mm-hmm. They're going to be offering dental screenings, fillings and extractions, primary care, blood pressure screening, glucose screening. We're going to be doing a lot of that, as well as rapid A1C testing, reading glasses, mental health counseling, family counseling, and special presentations. So you don't have an excuse not to come out, because that's it's there awesome. For several days.
Yeah. And that's why I was asking for the day, because I know they observed their Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
From so Friday and Saturday. So Saturday is out. Okay.
Saturday is out.
So the 13th, they're not going to have anything on the 13th,
no,
right?
No.
11th. Half day on the 12th, then they come back again Monday the 14th.
Yes.
Right?
And the 15th.
And the 15th, yes. Okay? So down there at...
So it's Sunday as well.
The Seventh-day Adventist, the main church down there, Estate Pleasant, when you're down Center Line Road, head towards Grove. When you get to Plaza West, I think it's now the Marketplace, is that name. I want to thank you distinguished ladies, Dr. Nunley Bland. Thank you very much for joining us from Howard University. Nice talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
No, thanks for the contribution.
And I just wanted to share, if anybody needs to make an appointment, please call us at 340-208-0260. Once again, that is 340-208-0260.
I'm talking about, and that voice you just heard was Dr. Julia Sheen, Executive Director of the Virgin Islands
Diabetes
Center of Excellence. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. We'll take a break. And
thank
be back
you.
Right after this.
Thank you, Dr. Nunley Bland.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Nunley Bland.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.